How's everyone doing this morning? Hope everyone's having a great day so far. Today we're in the Feast of Dedications. John really likes to concentrate on different feasts, it seems like, when it comes to talking about Jesus' ministry. Today we're in the latter part of John 10. Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for all you do and for this time we get to spend in your word. Help us to see something new and fresh today. Help us in our journey. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So, today we're in John 10. Back in Jerusalem, and the opening verse is actually, and it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of Dedication. It was winter, and I picture most people don't realize that winter can be rather interesting, as we'll see here in a second. But I'll show you some pictures. That it does snow in Jerusalem in the winter. Here's the Wailing Wall. You see the snow. A few dedicated people still there. There they are in a snowstorm at the wall. So I thought you might find that interesting. So who knows? We don't know if it was snow on that day. He didn't say anything, but he did comment that it was winter. Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And, that's that area in the back there. A little bit of a close-up of that area behind the temple. That's what they call Solomon's porch with all those pillars. So that would be the general area that Jesus is talking about here, or John is talking about. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt if thou be the Christ? Tell us plainly. I wonder how many more times Jesus has to tell these folks that who he is. Seems like he's constantly doing it and they keep asking the same question. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works of that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And this takes me to Acts 14:2, that wasn't much different even after the death, burial, and resurrection, because Paul was facing the same thing here in Acts. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil if afflicted against the brethren. See that even halfway through, almost halfway through Acts, Paul was still having the same problem. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep, I said unto you. If you remember the lesson we had Friday, we talked a lot about the sheep, and that we're all like sheep. And I truly think that reflecting back at that day of the rapture, we're going to hear our individual voices, and that we'll know it's him. What an exciting day that's going to be. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And a couple of things here to point out about being plucked out of your hand and eternal life. Over in James 1:17, we see about eternal life. Every good gift and every perfect gift from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of. Over in Jude 1:1, we see a similar thing. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. There is another indication that by being preserved there, basically you're being held by the hand of God. over in Psalms 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. All great verses to kind of point that when we're with the Father and Jesus, that we're protected. Over in 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That was a point there, being kept by the power of God. Then now back to John 10:29. And my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I think we all can remember sermons where we, I think it was actually Pastor Storm once used to comment that kind of envisions that like we're in Jesus' hand, kind of like in Jesus' hand, and that the Father's hands are over Jesus' hand, hold on. So I don't think anyone can pluck out of that hand. See also in 1 Peter, comment about the hands of God. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's Peter talking about the power of God. So back to John. And this is still Jesus speaking. I and my Father are one. I was going to get Jesus staring up the Pharisees again, or the Jews. And the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And it's interesting that things don't really change much. Here we are, Jesus, it's probably somewhere around three, maybe a few. 3 or 4 months, maybe half a year before his crucifixion, because I think that's basically in the springtime. So here we are in winter, which could be December. So by April, he'll be facing the cross. But we see also in over in Acts, where the same thing happened to Stephen. What I like about these verses here is it's one of the other times that Jesus, after his resurrection, after his ascension, he appeared to people on earth. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord. I wanted to start a little earlier. How was I doing that later? Let me back up a little bit here. I want to start at 54. This is when Stephen was being was talking in the synagogue, and when they heard these things, that he had just finished talking about Jesus being the resurrection and life, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord. Just to finish up this area, this is where, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. This is the first time we see Paul, who's Saul, during this stoning. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So during this whole time, Stephen is actually seeing God. I'm willing to bet, even though he was being stoned, that the Lord was kind of comforting him and receiving him. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. We know that whenever they say that in the Bible, it's a believer. We don't die. We actually fall asleep, and our body goes to sleep, and we go to be with the Lord. So back over to John. John 10:32, and Jesus is still talking to him. And Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you, Father. From which of those works do you stone me?" And the Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, that thou being a man, makest thyself God." Another great verses over in Psalms 82 to kind of support this. "I have said, you are God, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations." That psalm right there is actually one of Asaph, who was did a lot of predicting of some things that were going to happen in the future. And here, a kind of a prediction, a prophecy of this time frame that Jesus is experiencing. That there will be unbelief, and that Jesus knew, based on that verse in there at 10:33, that and where he says, "And because that thou being a man makest thyself God," well, that the Jews are all playing God also. And we see here in verse 34, when Jesus says it back to him, and Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods." That's what I just referenced there in Psalms. You notice it's a little g. In other words, it's not like God. When true God is more or less raising yourself up to the level of a God. "For he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken." Notice that here we also got the big G God too. "Say ye of him, whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do," what was he saying there? "That if I wasn't doing all the miracles and things that should be showing you that I am the Son of God, I could understand your point," basically is what he's saying. "But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe thy works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Kind of a hint there, too, that when we become born again, believers, that Jesus and the Holy Spirit will be in us. It's not that we are gods. It says that the Holy Spirit is working through us, or like a vessel for the Holy Spirit. "Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hands, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John had first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of, this man were true. And many believed on him there." So that's a good indication, too, that some of the people listening to this exchange, it actually became a testament to them, and they believed. I'll finish off with verses in Romans that kind of reflect on this. 1:17. "And as the righteousness of God from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So I think that's what the part that Jesus, through this whole chapter, state is that to put your faith in him, and you'll see that who he really is. But also over in Romans 10:17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So that's the end of chapter 10. And, some great, great verses here to keep in mind. That had a couple more pictures. We already mentioned that he escaped out from that group of people and ended up going to where John was baptizing. And this is that area they truly believe, based on archaeological digs, that this is the area that he's speaking of. It's called Bethany Beyond the Jordan, I think is the name they give it now. Unfortunately, because of the lowering level of water in the Jordan, it actually looks like this now. No water. So if you go there now, you can actually get baptized in the Jordan, but it's let's just a map to kind of show what we're talking about. You can see where Jerusalem is there in the center of the picture. And if you go east in purple there, you see Bethany beyond Jordan. That's the area they believe that Jesus is talking about. That's where he left. During his time leading up to the crucifixion, he spent a lot of time in this general area. You heard of Bethany, which is probably more like where about the E is in El Yad, that general area there. I'll show some pictures of that when we get to that point. That's it for today. Hope that helped in your daily study. And with a prayer, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word and for all those promises, and that you do have us in your hands, and that we shouldn't fear. We should go boldly and speak your name, and that you can give us the strength to continue through these days, as we expected. Things might get a little bit tougher. And so, Lord, please give us comfort and help us in our daily lives, and that we may spread your word. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you, folks. Have a great day. And we'll talk to you soon.